Welcome to Reading Deadly Troubadours. I'm author Brent Thomas, and join with me as I read from the second novel of my Deadly Troubadours series, Sand, Sea, and Stone. Let's begin, shall we? Chapter 7. Demetrius Tate, Goblin. As the four of them made their way through the maze of alleys, Demetrius was on his guard. He had defeated them, and they had agreed to his terms, but he was not sure if he could trust these thieves to hold up their end of the bargain. Not that he could blame them if they were attempt to break the deal. After all, "Cook me a nice meal, or I will destroy you," was a rather unfair negotiation. And yet they seemed to be thieves worthy of trust. They led him through the crisscrossing streets and alleys of Trist. The one Demetrius thought of as Dagger briefly disappeared from view when they came to a five-point junction of alleyways. Demetrius ordered the other two to halt. He yelled out into the empty alleys that there would be a five count, and then he would destroy the remaining thieves. Demetrius wasn't sure if he could manage such a feat, even if he wanted to, but it sounded threatening enough. At the count of four, Dagger reappeared, adjusting his belt. "Don't fuss so much. Can't a body take a piss?" The voice that had issued forth was what signaled to Demetrius that what he had taken for him was most likely a her. He let his eyes drift over her shape and taken her appearance. Blackish hat made of some soft fabric, round and tall on the sides but flat on the top, with a dangling tassel hanging off to one side. Some kind of brown scarf tied around her chin and face in a manner that left no dangling ends. Black jerkin over blue doublet with little poof to the sleeves. Slim black trousers that ended mid-shin, revealing bare leg until square-toed leather boots began. Nothing out of the ordinary to her appearance, except for a splatter of mud and the thick belt which held up a wide dagger she carried. Little about her announced much femininity, except perhaps something around the eyes that Demetrius couldn't quite describe. But, then again, the only two women he had spent any length of time with recently were the literal evil crone who had taught him the beginnings of magic, and the teenage girl they had kidnapped to use in a body-swapping ritual. At least, that was the plan until Demetrius came to his senses and sabotaged the ritual, trapping the crone's soul in his crystal orb. Before that twisted relationship, he had spent a month working in a house of ill repute, surrounded by the varied women who called it home. But Demetrius was willing to allow that he had much to learn of what determined femininity. "Problem?" asked Dagger. Demetrius realized that his quick glance had gone on several seconds too long. He turned a brilliant red. "No, nothing," he said, sounding every bit as guilty as he felt. He tried to toughen up his voice. "Don't wander off again." He said a silent prayer of thanks that his voice did not break and reveal him as the fool he imagined himself to be. They continued their walking, Dagger at the lead. There were fewer turns, and the streets they took felt more direct. Demetrius prepared himself for a trap and mentally rehearsed which spells he imagined he would need. "Here we are," Dagger announced, pointing at what was a very normal door on a very normal, if out of the way, street. Demetrius wished he had prepared a few sigils. Even written on simple paper with watered-down ink, the sigils eased the burden of casting. With little coin in his pockets and empty stomach, he had told himself that such materials were a luxury he could not afford. He would feel like an utter fool if the cost of some pressed scrap paper to write on and a few drops of his blood instead of ink would make the difference between life and death. He took a deep breath. "Lead the way," he told his three captives. Dagger merely shrugged and walked in. The other two, who Demetrius noted were similarly dressed, followed. He stared inside and saw a short hall that led to what seemed to be a typical receiving room. He bobbed back and forth on the balls of his feet as Dagger looked back at him with an arched eyebrow. "You coming in, or should we shut the door?" Demetrius stood flat on his feet, stretched himself out to his full height, and strode inside. As he did, he noticed that his eye line was just under Dagger's, and that her hat gave the impression that she loomed over him. "Stupid hat," he muttered under his breath as he positioned himself on the far side of the room, where he could easily see the three entryways. Plus, he was in front of what looked to be a very soft sofa. Time passed as the four of them stared at each other. The two thieves, to whom Demetrius had yet to assign nicknames, kept looking back and forth between Demetrius and Dagger, who, for her part, looked equal parts bored and amused, which was a tough expression to pull off. Of the four, the most apprehensive expression belonged to him, their captor. "Well?" eventually asked Dagger. "Well, what?" responded Demetrius. "If you want a meal, you need to tell us what you want. We don't want to offend the powerful wizard." "Anything is fine," he said, deciding to ignore what sounded remarkably close to sarcasm. "I'm not feeling picky. Darren, Kai, stir fry with green peppers." The way she said it left no doubt as to who was in charge in the room. "Pork or mutton?" one of the two asked. Dagger cocked her head at Demetrius, who realized he was expected to answer. "Mutton." The word felt awkward coming out of his mouth. He immediately wished he had ordered pork, but could only imagine how ridiculous changing his order would come across. The two thieves disappeared down one of the halls. Demetrius expected them to come storming back at any moment. Only when the smells and sounds of sautéing garlic drifted down the hall did he relax slightly. He mentally marked that hall off as leading to a kitchen, just as he had marked which hall led to the exit. He had never thought of smells as tantalizing before, but at that moment the aroma of butter and garlic was just that. Slowly, he found himself drifting down and sinking into the sofa. It was indeed soft, the softest thing he could remember. He fought off the urge to rest his tired feet on the small table in front of him, and instead let out a sigh that expressed his true weariness. If he had looked at Dagger at that moment, he would have seen a shadow of sympathy and even pity sweep over her face, but only for an instant until impassiveness once again reigned over her expression. The clank of a plate being set down on the table in front of him jarred Demetrius from his sleep. He suddenly and awkwardly stood, being both startled by the noise and startled at having slept in the presence of those he had fought with all too recently. He knew he could not trust them, and yet he had slept. It was absurd. He cursed the sofa and the spell it had cast over him. He cast his focus around the room. There were smiles on the faces in front of him. They were amused by him. Dagger alone was making an attempt to hide her grin by burying her face into her closed hand. The other three were open with their smirks. Wait, other three? Weren't there only three total? Demetrius was fairly certain that there had been no more than that in the alley, but his memory was slowly being overwhelmed by the part of his brain that was focusing on the smell coming off the food in front of him. Had there been a fourth in the hovel when they arrived? He didn't think so, but if that were the case, then when had the new person arrived, and which body was it? All his efforts to look at the faces around him failed as his eyes kept returning to the steaming plate resting on the table. He could smell the slightly gamey mutton and the fiery spices that threatened to overpower the meat scent. The sweet smell of the peppers, a mixture of green and red shades, except where they had been softly charred black, mingled in with the other aromas. Underneath it all was the scent of the cooked rice that served as a nest for the more flavorful mixture of meat and vegetables. He felt himself slipping back down to the couch, but instead of sliding into deep cushions, Demetrius perched on the edge and hunched over the food. Dagger was reminded of a temple-top gargoyle staring down and attempting to sort the believers from the heathens. Demetrius groped for the fork, unable to tear his eyes away from the platter. Finding it, he took a measured stab into the dish and assembled a proper blend of meat, peppers, and rice. Only when he was satisfied with the ratio did he begin to eat. The food's impact on him was not limited to mere flavor and nourishment, but stoked an emotion very near to bliss. His mind searched for the last time he had been able to eat a proper meal, rather than table scraps and worm-riddled roots. It came up blank, except for some dim notion of a wagon being involved. But here he had a feast, and it was all for him. A few glances around the room convinced him that none of the observers were interested in his meal. A part of him knew it was foolish to disregard his safety. There were strangers present. Worse, they were the foes he had so recently been in conflict with. But his safety seemed inconsequential when compared to the prospect of having a stomach that was filled for the first time in ages. He ate, and when the food diminished, to his amazement, in came a fry pan filled with morsels to top off his plate. The pan was carried by someone. Demetrius was beyond caring at that point. He gave the same amount of thought to the wine glass that appeared on the table. He just took a mouthful and used it to wash down a particularly spicy bit of mutton. He ate until his arms felt heavy and his body ached, but, to be fair, that was only halfway through his second plate. Soon his stomach felt as if he would split open, and he blamed that on its having shrunk from disuse. But Demetrius continued to wolf it all down. Who knew when he would again be able to eat so grandly? He picked up his wine glass and sank back into the depths of the sofa. He saw that the others in the room were now also eating similar fare. That was good. He didn't think they would have had time to whip up a poison and non-poison batch. He couldn't decide if the use of poison hadn't occurred to him before now, or if he just hadn't cared. It was too late to concern himself with such things now. After a few more sips of wine, Demetrius felt the lightheadedness brought on by alcohol mixed with the lethargy brought on by the food. He was wondering if he should regret the decision to eat the food and drink the wine such people would offer. He mulled over the decision while taking another sip of wine. His eyes felt heavy. One of the shapes, they were people he shouldn't trust, Demetrius reminded himself, put a bowl of food down on the table. The voice that issued forth sounded female, not Dagger's voice, older, perhaps. Demetrius blinked his eyes open. He was pretty sure it was a woman, but he was so tired and more relaxed than he should be. Again, he hoped the food had not been poisoned, but he imagined he knew what the culprit was as he finished off his glass of wine. He should be paying attention. "And then defeated those I sent to confront you," she said, and paused long enough that Demetrius realized he was supposed to say something. "Yes." Demetrius surprised himself by not slurring his word, at least not that much. "But they started it." He gave a fierce nod to indicate the truth of his words. The speaker exchanged a glance with Dagger, who merely shrugged in response. Demetrius was too blurry-eyed to notice the rolling of the eyes that followed. "It has been a while since you have sampled wine, hasn't it?" said the speaker. "Yes, it has," answered Demetrius quite truthfully. "You do realize it is in my power to kill you in your drunken state?" Demetrius gave his own shrug. "Probably, but I still have magic even when drunk, and less control, or inhibitions. It would be risky to try now. Certainly, when I sleep you could kill me, if that is your plan. You should wait until then." "Do you want I should kill you?" "Not particularly." Demetrius was slowly losing in the struggle to keep his eyes open. "I think you can find a better option. Are you wanting to join us?" From the moment she saw him fight, she knew he would either be an adversary or an asset. She did not expect the wooing process to be quite this easy. If there are meals provided. And, having joined his first thieves' guild, Demetrius promptly drifted off into sleep. Hey everyone, this is Brent. If you've been enjoying this podcast, there's a few things I'd like you to do to help me out. First of all, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, and then go over to Goodreads. At Goodreads, you can rate and review both Deadly Troubadours and Sand, Sea, and Stone. Then you might as well go on over to Facebook and like the Brent Thomas author page. To see what I'm up to, you can follow me on Instagram or at Twitter. Don't worry about all of those addresses, because you know what? They're all going to be in the show notes at the end. You can also go to my website, which is deadlytroubadour.com. If you really want to support me, you know, with cash, you can go to patreon.com/Brent Thomas. If you want to purchase a copy of Deadly Troubadours, you can get a paperback through Amazon or an ebook anywhere ebooks are sold. Or you can contact me directly for either. Sadly, Sand, Sea, and Stone is not yet available. Thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. And you know what? Have a great day.